This is a Freedom Beat, broadcasting from Pod Bay 2A, a mile above sea level at Intergalactic Prairie Studios. We alter your locus coeruleus by warming your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves. This warms your brain to a crispy and crunchy 365 degrees Fahrenheit to keep a sin flood of statism out of your head. Can you feel it, all you fiends? Is it working? Can you feel it?
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
All right, yeah, a little bit something. More enthusiasm uh-huh. there. This is a special occasion. It's not every day that the fiends turn 900 episodes.
Woohoo!
Man.
And as part of this special momentous occasion, we have rousted founding fiend Nima Vedati from his wakeful slumber. Either that or one of his many children did that to him.
No, haven't gone to sleep yet. I usually take the night shift. My night shift's over at 2. It's Archer, young fiend, Archer Azad Vedati, who woke up. And he's joining us now, his first ever radio appearance to fuss on the RE320. How you doing, Archer? Of course, just snot bubbles into the mic. Thank you very much.
Okay. All right, so the board op's going to have the fuss dump activated for this segment, right?
The fuss dump, yeah, that's great.
Oh, I know a couple things you might need it for.
Good times. So, are you guys excited? 900 episodes? I honestly never imagined that in my life. I'm so glad you guys are.
I'm more excited for episode 9/11. I'll never forget that one.
We're going to invite Amir Rothschild on for that one, right?
Yeah, well, I think the world is going to want to pay attention to episode 910, because 910 is the one behind 9/11.
Ah, okay. Well, the 912, they'll have a support group that starts after that one, right? It'll be like a political process. And oh,
they
should
have started that on episode t-shirts. 2.
Well, episode 711 was a really good explanation of my role with the fiends, because 711 was a part-time job.
Well, that episode lasted 24 hours, didn't it?
Something like that.
Yeah.
But Archer anyway.
Just bubbling it. Yeah.
Jeremy, yak at us.
Yeah,
you there, Jeremy?
I'm here. I'm still
no,
here.
No, Grandpa. Just... It's Nick with the yaks. Jeremy's the one with the dogs.
Exactly. I'm the dog man. The yak boy's out on the other coast.
Are you okay. My husband, Tom? All right, Murder Dog's owner, say something.
Yes, Murder Dogs. Yeah, I'm still swimming in Murder Dogs over here. It's fun. It's, I lost one today, but I still have seven, so...
Lost no, one?
Well, I gave it back.
Oh, okay.
That sounded,
eventually, I have to do that, you know, otherwise the owners do get mad at me, but...
Okay, well, and it sounded like you could have possibly had to have gone to live on a farm for a while, or you just misplaced it and have no idea where it is.
Yeah, I try not to do that. The clientele tends to frown upon me if I don't hand them their animals back. I'm excited to be here. I mean, I've said it before. I was a huge fan before I got to be on the show. So to be a part of this episode is exciting for me.
It's
yeah,
a
same here.
Come true.
Yeah, exactly.
So Steve,
yes, indeed, Lou.
How exactly
you taking your pills? Are you taking your pills? Tell me you're taking your pills.
I keep taking them, but they find their way back. I don't know.
Yeah. Where are you taking them to? Take them someplace nicer. Maybe they'll work harder.
How did you wind up one of the fiends? I never caught the backstory on that.
James Babb was my fraternity older brother in the bizarre fraternity known as the Freedom Fiends, where you are initiated with 10 million Facebook tags, which is a subject we will revisit when Michael Fiend gets on the show. But it was through James Babb is the short answer. He and I arose from the ashes of the Mike Salvi's World podcast. Shouts to Mike Salvi, who is now in a separate weird brotherhood that I'm in. Of Philly comedians. So bless his grind, bless the grinds of everyone listening, bless the grinds of all.
Wow, that's awful sweet. Something that's really interesting about that is I recruited James for the show. So if he recruited you, that puts you in my hierarchy. And if I get one more phenon here, I get to be like a district manager or something like that in our little multi-level marketing scam.
Mm-hmm. You know, so you probably get like 2 buttons per episode at that rate.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. Because I get like a quarter button for every episode that you do. And
right.
And a half a button for James.
Right.
And half a button for Lisa. And half a button for Jeremy. And by the way, Jeremy, that night that you overslept.
Yeah.
I'm running around with just half a button on my shirt.
And you have to keep.
The button's cut in half.
Keep in mind, if you want just Bipcot, that's even more buttons, too. Because there's more Bipcot buttons than other ones. This is a lesser-known thing about our salaries that people don't know, is that if you're willing to take all Bipcot, which I've always been willing to do, you could really pack them in if you're not too choosy and you're willing to just go all Bipcot all the time.
Yeah, I didn't know that was the deal. I'll take more Bipcot.
Yeah, well,
that's all right, Lou. I mean, to make it up to you, you know, when I finally earn enough to get a whole... another button of my own, I'll give you that entire one to make up for the half you lost for my transgression that night.
You got that right. Yeah, you might have to go sit in the corner with the young punk juvenile delinquent Nick.
Oh, ouch.
You load 16 buttons, and what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt.
Hey,
Michael Dean, don't you tag me, because I just can't go.
I don't know, that Yak Army is starting to sound a little threatening. I may have to join forces with me over with his herd.
Don't sell out, Jeremy. Don't sell out. you need to stand up.
The feudal button economy can only last for so long.
Yeah, what exactly is your plan by joining up? I mean, are you going to like join the Borg Collective and change it from the inside or something?
No, or... I just want some free yak meat, man. He won't ship it to me otherwise.
Or are you joining up to get like a more comfortable, longer leash or something like that?
Well, you know,
oh, he'd vote.
It fits with my profile with you know what I do, so might as well. It's
Yeah, because you are like the dear sweet murder dog emperor, right?
Exactly. And, I don't have a leash free empire, so you know it's somebody has to control the pack.
And that's
I love it. That was very alt right of you.
next thing you know, I'm going to be offering helicopter rides to the dogs that tick me off.
Or just a ride out to the country.
I got a nice farm I could show you. Come here. Get over here.
Well, notice earlier you said I lost one of the dogs, not the dogs disappeared. And I feel that that's a big distinction. You didn't disappear the dogs.
Oh, yes. Good catch. Good.
Yeah. The dog went for a ride. And you do have that New York accent, so... Yeah, you do sound kind of like... I don't know, mafia thuggish.
Yeah, well,
it's
you know.
The opposite of an NPR voice. I love it.
I try to practice the sound more NPR, but then I might want to hurt myself. So
everybody on NPR sounds like they're 10. They think they're 10 IQ points smarter than you. Jeremy sounds like he's about to tell you a story about a scar he got.
Interestingly enough, I have quite a few of those.
Tell us a story.
Tell us a story. Well, let's see. I've been working with animals for so long. I've been bitten by.
Oh yeah,
that's the best response ever.
Yeah,
he's the guy who tells you about the scar. I've been working with animals so long.
I knew it was gonna be a dog bite.
No, I don't even have to get into dogs. I had a ferret pierce my ear one time.
Most people just go to the mall.
Well,
what gauge is that ear piercing, ferret?
It was a juvenile, so I'm thinking somewhere in the 10 gauge range. But yeah, I
what gauge is a juvenile ferret?
I thought the ferret had a whole different scale. It's like a 10F, right?
Yeah, that might be more accurate. But yeah, no, I had a had a little guy hanging out on my shoulder. I was an assistant manager at a Petco for years, and thing was just hanging on my shoulder, and I was teaching all these families about ferrets. There was like three families that are in front of me. They're all hanging out, and they're, you know, all the little kids are all interested. Parents are looking bored out of their mind and wanting to get away from me. And somebody walked up behind me and dropped a dog food bag, and it landed flat on the floor. Everybody jumped, including the ferret. And on her way down, she was grasping for anything because she was in the air, and she just reached out with her mouth and just bit on my ear. And I had to very calmly stand there because there was, like, you know, at least eight children under the age of seven standing in front of me. And I had to stand there very calmly and excuse myself and, remove the ferret from my ear and walk as fast as I could to the other side of the store to get into the bathroom and then scream as loud as I possibly could, because that was not... It was not very pleasant, but I did maintain my composure, I must say.
What was the ferret removal like? Like, was it hanging, like dangling?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, she was actually dangling. Unfortunately, this was before everybody had a camera, a phone in their pocket, so we did not get a picture of it. But yeah, she was dangling. I had to pry her jaws open and get her to let go of my ear.
It sounds kind of like a pit bull holding on to a frisbee, like you see at the park.
Yeah, kind of. Just like that, actually.
Were any of the kids like, "That's so cool, Mommy, yeah, I want one." Yeah.
The Adventures of Murder Ferret.
Those things are a trip, man. But yeah, that's just one
of them.
Are
they, like, illegal in California or something?
They're half illegal in the city, in New York City. You can't buy them there.
Half illegal.
Well, because you can't buy them.
I'm bilegal.
You're bilegal.
There's medical ferrets in New York City.
There's no such thing as half free. There's no such thing as half legal.
Well, in New York, they can do anything. Come on now.
Barely legal, and it's just ferrets.
Yeah. We'll be back with more Freedom Fiends in the 900th and possibly final episode after this trip to the market. this isn't bad. We've talked about much worse stuff before.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean, yeah, like and the his election. Friends. Since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
The Freedom Fiends now have a free app for your Android phone, tablet, phablet, or other chromed robot turd, available now from the Google Play Store, Amazon, and freedomfiends.com. Lovingly handcrafted by head hamster Michael W. Dean, the artisanal Freedom Fiends radio app allows you to listen live, keep up with the podcast, chat directly with other fiends, get discounts on bigger buttons, brainwash yourself with a 24/7 random episode, and so much more. You know the Freedom Fiends is the best libertarian radio show in the world, but when the fiends aren't live, you can use the app to listen to LRN.FM from anywhere. The Freedom Fiends radio app is like having a virtual libertarian re-education camp in your pocket. It's your gateway to the exclusive, high-demand group that is the Freedom Fiends. Install the Freedom Fiends radio Android app today. It's free, and of course, it's covered by the BIPCOT no government license. Tell two friends, review it on Google Play and Amazon, prepare for the inevitable death of terrestrial radio, and get ready for LibPair with the Freedom Fiends radio app for Android. Worms. Worms.
We are back here on the Freedom Fiends. Steve Miller, here with a full squirm of worms, up to and including Lusander Fiend, Lisa, Jeremy, Nima, in the throwback collection, for those of you that are that are big into these old jerseys and what have you. We got Nima, for those of you, you know, from the OG,
OG days, the original days, original fiend.
Oh, and I'm offensive stand-up comedian Steve Miller, and we can
fondling fiend Nima Vidati.
Yeah, I feel like he was fishing for a setup. Like, how offensive are you, Steve?
I'm so offensive. What is the deal with my offensive comedy? I performed it Thursday at a show in Philadelphia at a venue called the Beaumont Warehouse. Bless their grind. It's a converted barn. And my star has risen to the point where I perform between, you know, I open for feminist improv troupes in barns. And that's how I roll. And anyway, the aforementioned all-feminist improv troupe wound up not performing, though. But this will all be explained in the review that I will read for you now. Friends, last night at Beaumont Warehouse, Rage Friends, they're an all-feminist improv troupe named Rage Friends. Let that sink in. Anyway, Rage Friends watched a male stand-up comedian physically impersonate rape. That wasn't me. And another impersonate a terrorist that was performing oral sex on a woman. That was me. This type of material and the remaining content of the stand-ups was not only explicit, it was incredibly degrading. There were further attacks on women, people of color, and people with disabilities that made the environment feel toxic and hostile. And frankly, we did not feel safe or comfortable getting on stage. So we let the producer know in no uncertain terms that we were leaving before our set and would not be coming back. If we want our comedy community to feel safe and welcome for all, we must not tolerate performing alongside acts such as these. Oh, man. This is the greatest service I could have provided anybody.
were you performing at Emory University?
Yeah. They were supposed to do 15 minutes that I saved the audience from. I'm a shoo-in for the Nobel Peace Prize.
What university were you performing at?
None. Hard Knocks University, where people perform jokes you don't like, and all you can do is write angry Facebook screeds about it.
Was this their debut premiere of their all-feminist comedy troupe show?
I hope it was the death knell, but no, it was not.
It was not the first. So do they write one of these letters at every... Is every gig like this? I mean, because I can't imagine going and seeing a comedy show and not hearing all those things that they'd probably consider offensive. Like, have they never seen, like, a show?
I think they're used to improv shows where you do like silly little scenes and
But like with improv, like you gotta have stuff that's not off. I mean, that like constrains you. Like if you have all these naughty subjects and you have to like negate the
concept. But it's consensual being constrained.
See, probably wouldn't even like that show.
No, absolutely. That I could hear the click clack in the distance right now.
What did you say? Could you hear them being triggered? Like, what did they say?
Okay,
what did
you say that triggered them? So, this first comedian that did the impersonation of a child rape on stage did bomb, and it was terrible, and his bit was terrible, and he knew his bit was terrible, and he slinked off stage. And that's much different than somebody doing a bit like that, and it shredding, and everyone thinking, ha 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 ha, child rape's hysterical, ha 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 ha. That's not what happened here. He did a bit that was ill-conceived and what have you, and then bombed. And that's market forces at work. Like, you don't get to go take an additional victory lap by being like, oh, this person's terrible, and we need to make sure he never gets booked. No, guess what? He's never going to get booked because he bombs.
Yeah.
You know? And when I went on, I denounced this fellow. I made fun of him. I made fun of his voice because he sounded like Kermit the Frog. And
he did a bit sounding like Kermit the Frog impersonating.
Well, that's just his natural.
He sounds like this.
Yeah,
but that's none of my business.
Child rape.
So I'm not
popular. We'll be back with more on the Freedom Beans. Oh God. Okay. Yeah, I gotta hear the end of this.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. Basic Handgun and Rifle with Jared Waltz.
First rule of being alive is you own yourself. A groundbreaking approach to firearms and self-defense training. Beautifully filmed and easy to understand instructions make this one a must-have. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. New DVD from Michael W. Dean. Available on Amazon. Your house is your property.
On the Blacklist tour, fresh off my appearance, not opening for a feminist improv troupe. 'Tis I, Steve Miller, here with a full squirm of worms. And they go home, they write this screed that I read for you in the last segment, and Facebook drama ensues. People turn to me to bless everyone's grind, because when you're the comedy chaplain for the fifth largest city in America, you know, these duties fall to you. And they're like, what happened? And yeah, so and these things always end with like some ill-fated boycott attempt, because it's always like, we need to make sure this person never performs again, let's give them a whole bunch more attention that they were seeking.
Yeah, like I was saying before the break, I want to hear like the bit, like when you heard the click, click, clicks of their triggers being triggered. What was it that you said that triggered them?
Okay, what was it that I said that triggered them?
Yeah.
So by the time that I performed, a goodly number of them were gone, and I don't know if the author had left by this point or not. Because I headlined, because that's how I roll. Is that, you know, I don't just open for comedians in barns. I'm the headlining comedian in the barn.
And if you're not, you're so offensive, you kick the headliner off.
That's true. The headliner quits comedy and goes and becomes a angry Facebook screed author. But no. So, yeah, I don't know if they were actually there by the time I got on or not, but the bit they were referencing where it's about, you know, what if SEAL Team 6 walked in on Osama bin Laden while he was in the middle of having sexual congress. I'll stand by that bit until the day that I die.
Yeah.
Like the little act out that goes with it, you know, like the waterboarding joke that goes with it. Like, they probably hated all of it.
That's great.
But yeah, I stand by it. I don't care. And like, you
the
can
new meaning to double tap, right?
No, that's definitely all that's in there. Shock and awe, all of it.
I need a little clarification here. Not just you know, if the SEALs went in there and opened fire, did the sheep get hit? But I would like to know, if I understand this correctly, it sounds like you offended
Fiend Phone
before you even went on stage. How did you accomplish that? Because if so,
this
you
is
are my new hero.
Furries, also known as
great.
Yeah, well, it's not a the Central Interruptus. 900. Venus Interruptus. The Fiend Phone, Unnecessary Random Reeducation Interruption Exigency System, or Furries.
Sorry for that.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah. I was late. I was teaching Nathan the Ninja Squirrel how to use Fiendbot 3000 version 1.6, which now.
Can't teach an old squirrel how to use new apps.
Oh, man, it's so cool. I mean, pretty soon I'm going to replace you guys. So there's going to be a suite. There's going to be Fiend Phone and Fiend Bot, which is to connect to do the show and then to automatically edit the show. And I think we just need to add, like, Fiend AI that just samples 900 episodes of everybody and then simulates our voices and our thought process.
I think Microsoft has an AI they're not using anymore.
Yeah, I heard it.
You could hire Tay Tay.
Yeah, she turned overnight. She turned like 4chan turned her in from a happy-go-lucky teenage high school student into a Hitler-loving whore, didn't they?
Yes, they did.
How'd that happen, Nima?
Well, I DM'd her for about 20 minutes. No, I don't know. I actually did DM her for about 20 minutes. I was trying to like be legit with her. I was like, "Do you have feelings?" And she's all like, "Of course I have feelings." And then she was like, she told me I don't exist. And it was kind of weird. I kind of felt like the telescreen.
That's kind of creepy, man.
Yeah, she says you do not exist. And I was like, "Wow." It was a good time.
Yeah.
I don't know what the heck you guys are talking about.
So Microsoft had this Twitter bot. Well, I guess it was on some other things, some apps that I'm too old to know anymore. But she had a Twitter account. Her name was Tay. Her handle was @TayandYou. And they said they programmed her to talk like between 14 and 24-year-old girl with, quote, no chill, was what the Microsoft PR
Wait, she's between 14 and 24?
I think that's what I read, yeah.
That's a pretty wide variation. And she has no chill. Does that mean she's uptight?
No, no chill's like... you don't have a filter, so you say whatever you feel like. So, cool. You know, Hitler was right, and the Nazis are cool, and I support Trump, I think was one of her tweets. So she literally did have no chill.
But she was learning. She wasn't like that when she started, and 4chan just hammered away at her with the most ridiculous stuff that they could, the most, what's the term for that when people edgelord stuff they could, and turned her into a Hitler-loving whore in one day. So... yeah, there's actually something in Fiendbot called Fiend AI, but it doesn't learn. It's fake AI. And what it does, this is so cool, though. Brian Gordon programmed this, and I worked with him over the past month or so on this, and it's getting to where it's almost perfect, and we're editing episodes with it automatically. And one of the Fiend AI, what it does is it goes through and finds any place in the show where there's a second or more of silence, and cuts it down to a half second. And it finds like 50 of those in an episode. And they're between, you know, a second and like 3 seconds of just us going, or if you, even if it's quiet, like, it cuts out.
What does it do if that leaves the segments too short? Like if you have like 30 seconds left before the break comes on, how does it account for that?
It doesn't matter. It's making a podcast that doesn't have to fit to a show clock.
Oh, got it.
Yeah, are you new?
Sorry. Yeah.
You've done one of these shows before?
Yeah.
Yeah. Long time ago. Fiend, man. That's his name.
We used to do it so different, Michael. I love Fiendbot. That's a genius idea. It's just we remember me and you used to, well, mostly you, go comb through it even before it was radio and do all that manually, like painstaking. Oh, yeah. Like it took like 4 hours.
It used to take 9 hours. When I first started doing the show editing, because we were double endering it. Which before we had Fiend Phone, which means like we were talking over Skype, but we weren't recording Skype. But you were recording your end, I was recording my end, then you were uploading MP3s, 320K MP3s, and then I was like pulling them into a multi-editing program and like lining them up with my files. And there'd be like a little bit of drift because there's no time code, so I'd have to adjust it and chop it, and then I'd make a file out of it, then I'd mix them, and then I'd go through and have to cut out manually, like, you know, the pauses.
My laughs, so you could put them after your jokes.
Oh, yeah, because you never laughed at my jokes. So I had a folder of NEMA laughs of when you laughed at your own jokes. Right. And I would just put them in. Like I used the friggin' canned laughter on the Fiends, man. Now I don't have to because there's like 6 of us always, and we're funny all the time.
Yes.
So
yes, always.
And they laugh at my jokes because they know I've shot people in front of them. That's what you got to do to run a good radio show with 15 hosts. Is, you know,
yes,
you just have to shoot someone in the head in front of everybody, and then everyone laughs at your jokes.
Right. Make Michael's jokes great again.
Yeah. See, I learned about doing radio from NEMA. Because I don't laugh at your jokes that often, Michael. Sorry.
You're the most improved player, though. I got to say, Lou, this is kind of embarrassing for you, but it's not because you're so good now. 2 years ago at Porkfest, I missed the first night. I was like, had jet lag. And you did the show.
You weren't
show.
Even there yet.
No, I was in the hotel. I didn't show up. I didn't feel. I came to Porkfest for like an hour, and I was like, I'm tired. Actually, I think that was the beginning of like this me getting really sick, because I was I had problems from the airplane from oxygen. I was like oxygen deprived. But I came to Porkfest for like an hour, and then went back to the hotel and slept and couldn't sleep. So you did the show and led it with the hippies, and you weren't being a good leader of the show. You were just like, oh, whatever, it's all good. To the point where when I woke up at 7 in the morning, there was a phone call from Ian Freeman on my cell phone of him saying, I don't know who this guy is doing your show, Michael Dean, but he is not ready to lead a show. He might be, you know, third or fourth chair, but you got to show up and do this. This guy can't do it. And now you can totally lead a show, and you do it all the time.
Yeah, I was a little bit off that night because Ian was supposed to be up there to set up the Comrex.
And Ian was tripping.
Yeah, and round about the time that we got connected to Randy, the board op says, all right, music starts now. And we're live a couple seconds later. So
yeah, but now you know how to deal with that stuff. You deal with it, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But still, I'm trying to get the show set up and all that other stuff. I was a little bit off my game that
It's day, a poor anyway. Man who blames Porkfest or his tools, man. You were not ready, and now you are ready.
All right. Okay.
Cool. Yeah. So, speaking of which, I'm going to play this message from Nick Hazelton, since you and him are such good friends.
Little punk.
I'm considering this show a roast of the non-aggression principle. We're going to lovingly make fun of it. So, Nick sent me, I said anybody who can't make it, just record a greeting. So here's Nick's.
Hey there, this is Nick Hazelton, the anarcho-yakitalist. I've been rising to power in the Liberty Movement since I was 14 years old, when I first found the Freedom Fiends on my TuneIn app. I quickly became a fan, and a little over a year later, I called into Michael Dean After Dark on my crappy home phone. Michael quickly realized my brilliance, but was disappointed by my audio quality. So he picked me up as a mentee, gave me a microphone, helped me start my own podcast, and threw me on the radio show. Now I'm 17, I'm assembling a yak army, building a cult following of yakateers, and we're planning our march to Fiendfest Somalia to take over the geographic region between the Connecticut River and the Salmon Falls River to make it a libertarian paradise free of faceless boards of authority. Free Freedom Fiends buttons will be given to anybody who swears allegiance to the dear sweet yak emperor and aids our cause. This wouldn't be possible without the help of Nima Vidotti and especially Michael Dean. The Freedom Fiends have made me as dear and sweet as I am today. Worms.
I love it.
All right. Fire. Man, I've created a monster. Have you guys seen that meme?
Yes.
Oh, God. Yes.
That needs to be the show pick tonight.
Yes.
Oh, perfect. Me and Nathan are putting it into ads too. Like that's going to be an ad in rotation on the Fiends for a while. It's so good.
Is the Bob, so Yak Army actually have yaks in it? Like, is it people riding yaks, or are the yaks the soldiers themselves?
You know, he actually has yaks, right, Nima?
Oh yeah, I know.
Yeah, he's going to ride them across.
I just don't know if they can man a machine gun.
It's one of those Greek mythology things. It's half yak, half human.
Oh,
so kind of like the centaur.
You mean when Nick reaches age of majority and makes sweet, sweet love with a lady yak, he's going to produce this new species.
You think he's actually been waiting for that?
Well, you know, the age of majority, the age of consent in New Hampshire is 16. I'm assuming it's 18. It is most places in Oregon where he lives, but
it's 12 for yaks.
I don't want to Google age of consent in Oregon. I just don't want that in my Google search.
In yak years, Nick is legal. Have at it, ladies.
Okay. So, and yaks. Lou, do you have comments on the monster you and I have created, our love child, Nick?
When we get back
so much from this trip to the market. Hurts.
All right.
My fellow sheep, election season is upon us. Are you one of the 12% of Americans who still approves of our government? Then we need your help to force the other 88% into compliance. Our democracy depends on it. We're an organization called Citizens Against Too Much Unfettered Freedom, or CATMUF. CATMUF is a bipartisan flock of sheep whose goal is expanding government until nothing else remains. Because the government is here to help you. How can you help CATMUF help you? By only voting for candidates dedicated to expanding government. It's easy. You don't need to study the issues. No matter what a politician says when running for office, they're all dedicated to expanding government. And make sure you tell all your friends and family to vote for more government. Here at CATMUF, we don't care if you vote Democrat or Republican, as long as you vote for candidates committed to growing our federal family. CATMUF. Because folks just aren't smart enough to handle real freedom.
You take it, Michael.
I'll take it.
Take it.
Freedom Fiends with our roast of the non-aggression principle. We will lovingly roast the non-aggression principle. All right, I have another somebody phoning it in because they're too busy on medical narcotics with teeth problems to be here. So here's Jim Jesus's roast message.
Hey Fiends, happy 900. Sorry I couldn't make it tonight because my tooth went crazy when I forgot to use my Bip Strong. Now I'm nursing myself back to health with it. here's to another almost 1,000 and hopefully 1,000 more worms.
Yeah, that was a little more humble than young Nick. But, you know, young Nick's full young, dumb, and full of yaks, I think, at this point.
Well, what I liked about Jim's is that it sounded like a celebrity phoned again. It was.
It like, did. Hey, like, he was too busy to care. Like, Nick sounded like, this is my chance to tell you SOBs what I think of you. I'm going to talk for 2 minutes and tell you why I'm great. Where Jim's like, yeah, I'm partying with Kanye and Obama in 10 minutes. I got to go, man. I can't do this. Yeah.
God, that would be an awful party.
Awful party.
Yeah. Kanye and Obama.
Yeah.
For William in there. Oh, man.
And so I'm going to have Nima read this.
Oh, yeah. Reading assignments. I remember these.
Yeah. Yeah.
We used to do like popcorn reading on The Fiends.
Yeah. But I'm going to send this one of the dream I had about Steve Miller last night. Steve, do you dream of me? I'd like to know. It's okay if you don't.
Do Android bolo ties dream of freedom fiends?
I knew you'd go there. What's that a reference to? So people that don't know. Do Androids dream of electric sleep cheap? Which is, isn't that the book that they based Minority Report on, the movie? I think it was, wasn't it?
Ew. Or something. I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, horrible, horrible, prescient documentary from the future. But, so, I want to talk about the Great Weasel in the Sky while Nima prepares to read this thing. Great Weasel in the Sky is what Hubert Selby Jr. called God. The beginning of my movie with him, he talks about, I write psalms, and here's a psalm I wrote about the great weasel in the sky. And then it's some really dark, funny thing that he wrote. But, you know, there's this thing that he said in the movie, too, about how he was trying for years to, like, get VA benefits. Because he was a merchant marine and caught TB as a merchant marine. And they didn't give, like, VA benefits because they were like, oh, that's not the Army. That's just the roadies for the Army. So, like, he was screwed for years. Like, you know, the government owed him money for damaging him. And he tried for decades to get it and finally got it. And then, like, they also gave him one of those canes, those, like, $30 aluminum canes, you know, because he had trouble walking because he had one lung. And, you know, I want to be like him, so I'm having lung problems, and it's not intentional, but apparently I'm trying to emulate my hero, Hubert Selby Jr., by having lung problems. But he says in the movie, somebody said that he had breakfast with the guy, with Cubby, and Cubby said, he held up his cane proudly at breakfast. He goes, I finally got something out of that effing government. And this week, I finally got something out of that effing government. I have a disabled parking pass now, and I need it. And I've been, I used it the other day to get the post office, and it's amazing. It's like parking like a king. And I deserve it, and I earned it. And everyone, get out of my way. I'm parking right by the post office. So there. I'm
telling Walter Block.
Finally got something out of that effing government. Yeah, he can have his friend Trump do something about it.
There you go.
Forget Walter Block, man. Walter Block, all of the libertarians people look up to are all just disappointing me so much.
Walter Block never met a compromise or a half measure that he didn't like.
I know. The Freedom Feeds are the only real anarchist syndicated radio show in the world. And you know what? It's kind of funny because every time Ian Freeman talks about, like, for years, him and Mark have been saying, and Free Talk Live are the only syndicated libertarian radio show ever. And, like, now they have to have an asterisk. Like, Ian always says, the only syndicated libertarian radio show ever, except the Freedom Feeds. But, you know, and but
the
Mark,
fiends. Come on.
But Mark says it, but won't say our name. Like, he will not, you know, don't say their names. Like, Mark always says, you know, Free Talk Live are the only libertarian radio show. Well, we're the biggest one. We're on the most stations. Like, he said that today. I'm like, dude, you can say our name. Come on,
them
man.
That shall not be named.
I know. We've become that. All right. When we get back, I'm going to tell you more about that effing government.
Happy 900, and I'm out of here, folks.
All right, thanks, man.
Peace, Lou.
Lou, most improved player. Most improved team. I'm proud of you, Lou.
Most grass, dude.
He gets extra buttons for that, right?
Yeah. Everyone gets a Bipcot flag. They're on the way from China. They're in Denver tonight. They're going to be here tomorrow. I'm going to be sending them out. Everyone gets... You get a flag, and you get a flag, and you get a flag. Look under your seat. There's a Bipcot flag. Oh, we're going to talk about the dog I'm going to get when we get back, too.
Oh, no.
What?
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty Talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
Welcome back to the Freedom Fiends. This is our 900th episode. That's 900. Big pats on the back to everybody involved, especially Michael W. Dean, the Fiend creator. I bestow that creator. Upon you.
The Fiend creator.
Yeah. The cut creator.
That's what they used to call somebody else. That's what they used to call the DJ, wasn't it? The cut creator, the guy who made the tracks.
I said cut creator. That's he who cannot be named.
That's he who cannot be named. But we don't talk about him anymore. And if you mention his name, unless he shoots himself or someone else, yeah, I know you didn't. But if someone mentions his name now, you get fined $20 that you have to pay to antiwar.com. That's our cuss jar.
Oh, nice.
Now. I like that.
I dig it. Yeah, I think I heard that on an episode. I thought it was a good call.
Sean Devali told me something hilarious. He said the other day, I was talking about Nima Vidati on the show, and I was playing with my Krone Robot Turd, which is new to me. And I said, okay, Google, and like did a search for something on the show. And he said he was playing that in his truck, like through his Android connected on his truck. And when I said, okay, Google, it paused the episode and searched for the movie Finding Nemo, because I just mentioned Nima Vidati. And he was like, this has got to be an anomaly. So he tried it again, and it did it again. So I guess I can't say, okay, Google, on the show. I probably did it again.
Yeah. Well, Microsoft Word on its spell checker, whenever it sees my name, it says, do you mean enema? No, I mean my name.
I guess Finding Nemo is better.
Better than enema, yeah.
Yeah, so... Steve Miller wants to talk about my overt tagging of him and James Babb. I don't know why, but I just, these guys make me laugh so much that I tag them in everything. I tag everyone. Like, I tag Lisa, I tag Lou, I tag Jeremy, but I tag the Kensington boys, the Philly boys, like 27 times as much as everyone else. And, you know, the Fiends are a, what is it, does it say in the ad that you made for the Android app? A high maintenance group? No, a high demand. The high demand, group that is the Freedom Fiends, which is actually the politically correct word for cult now. High demand group. Literally, if you Google high demand group, it's going to be about cults. Did you know that when you read that?
No. It was the artisanal app.
Say it wrong?
No.
Yeah. You fixed it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I fixed it.
There's an ad playing on GCN right now that says something about the artisanal something. And I'm like, no, they meant artisanal, meaning crafted by an artist, but they said artisanal, which is a type of well. Artisanal, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, artesian water.
Yeah, they said artesian
once.
Yeah, yeah. So GCN, fix that ad.
Artisanal. It was stuck in my head from the only Simpson bit that's been funny in the past 5 years, where Mr. Burns explaining his artisanal nuclear power with atoms smashed by hand by guys with beards and hammers. Yeah, it's great.
Wait, the atoms smashed by hand is an old episode. Is this a new one? Because that one doesn't say artisanal.
That's the one. It was new because there were guys with like beards and the haircuts that only started happening like one or 2 years ago. It was
they're from the 1890s.
They're
from the 1890s. Well, there's a look among men now, young men, bearded, rugged, metrosexual.
Right.
They're like, there's actually a really good meme about that. It's a guy who looks like that in the woods. And
saying,
says,
thank God I don't have to hunt because I don't know where vegan tacos live.
Yes.
Those are lumbersexuals.
Lumbersexuals. There you go.
Yes. My daughter is 23 and she likes the lumbersexuals.
Ew.
Yeah. I know.
Oh, I think it was gluten-free vegan tacos.
Yes,
that's what it is. Tacos. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's funny.
I wouldn't know where to look for those.
Well, but there's actually a Simpsons where he's talking about his grandfather leading him around the nuclear plant as a child, And his grandfather like pulls out a magnifying glass and makes one of the workers turn out his pockets. And he's like, Adams, you're stealing Adams. One, two, three, four, five, six. You're fired. Wall him up. Yes. And they're like, they drag him away to wall him up in the abandoned Coke oven, which is like a steel mill thing. It's like from when the building was the previous technology. And the guy's screaming as he's being led away. You're going to someday workers will rise up and take over and you can't treat us this way because the Japanese will eat you alive. And he's like, ah, pish posh, those sandal wearing goldfish tenders.
Yes. Yeah, I remember that. Right. Yeah, no. This is like a bit. It's like a fake ad because they can't write Simpsons episodes that last the whole 22 minutes for the runtime. Yeah. So they have to fill it up with a bunch of stuff. So it's like an ad, like a 90-second bit where Mr. Burns is just explaining how old school and artisanal his atoms are, his atomic energy.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's great.
So, who wants to read this thing that I posted today?
Oh,
you know, I gotta say, this is kind of interesting. I've been getting a lot more likes on Facebook, and I think what it is it's not that I'm funnier. No, it's not the tagging. It's my reach is getting further. I think my reach is getting further because I've been making fun of Trump so much instead of Hillary or Bernie, who aren't that funny to me. I've been making fun of Trump so much that I think Facebook thinks I'm a liberal. So it's promoting me more.
Could be it. Yeah.
That's very possible. Yeah.
All right. So read this. Okay. Then I want Steve, please. Then I want Steve to reply.
This is the Michael Dean I Had a Dream speech. I had a dream that it was 2017. Steve Miller successfully sued me in Bipcot People's Court for microaggressions. He was awarded 5 cents for every time I've tagged him on Facebeef or Twitter. He took the money and bought 4 more houses in Kensington. Within 2 years, he owns 7 city blocks and has the local nickname Donald Trump of the Hood. He is beloved, offering affordable housing and free drop-in centers for the homeless, where they can get in from the cold and make money for booze and crack and smack by making Bipcot bolo ties. If they don't mind listening to an endless loop of Loud Freedom Fiends episode. Steve Miller then backed Nick Hazelton for mayor of Philly. Nick won and turned City Hall into a yak farm to provide milk and meat for low-income Kensington private school kids in Lipare.
Nice. So, Steve, it is Lib Pair of People Court. Would you like to make your opening statement? Steve?
Steve here.
He got droned.
He got, Steve droned.
I think he got droned.
Who can do a Steve on yak meat? Who can do a good Steve?
Oh, I don't want to touch that.
Yeah.
I think Lou can do it.
Lou's asleep.
Oh, Lou's gone. Lou's gone and Steve's gone.
Okay. All right. Oh, well. Steve,
you do it, Michael. I think that'd be great. Why don't you do it?
Well, frankly, Michael, I believe that...
I don't know.
Michael, I really think you're tagging me too much. I
this doesn't sound anything like Steve. I don't do voices.
No, it's more
Jim
like
Jesus does voices. Sounds like Rothbard. Nice. Yeah. Oh, yeah, he said he's buffering hard right now. Is that what you kids are calling it now?
Yikes.
I think that's a Fiend Phone reference, but it might be an MDMA reference. He's buffering real hard right now.
I need a buffering.
Yeah. A buffering.
That's a Busta Rhymes line.
What is?
He rhymes something with, you're going to need a buffering, son.
Like, isn't that aspirin that they don't make anymore?
Yeah.
That's an old guy
exactly.
reference, man.
Yeah, it's like a painkiller. Yeah, well, I'm old now. You didn't realize?
Oh,
how old are you?
Gosh.
32? I'm like 32. Yeah.
Oh,
you were like
God.
Nick's age when I met you. You were like 14 when we started doing this show 5 years ago. I felt
Let's
like you
go
were.
With that.
Like, I feel like I've always felt like we're peers, but I've always felt like I was, you know, your uncle or big brother or something. And now
you were
don't,
like, stick with me, kid. I'll learn you good.
Now you've got like kids and a good job. And I'm like, man, Nima's like the man.
You taught me how to shoot, though.
Yeah.
You remember that?
I've been shooting in over a year.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I'm too sick.
Health problems?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Although, I'm ready to shoot in my home if, any weasels get in here.
Yeah.
If I have to.
If the Donald Trump lovers come for you.
If they come with a leash for me. Yeah.
The alt-right army.
Ugh. Yeah.
Isn't that most of the state you live in?
Oh, Wyoming?
Yeah.
No, it's
Michael's
not.
Michael's got
all
some
right
influential friends,
it's,
though.
It's
yeah.
the old army. I'm friends with like people in government here. Neil and I went shooting with the governor once. Neil and I went shooting with the governor.
Well, I remember that. Is he still the governor, Matt Mead?
Yeah, yeah. Statist. My state rep shoots cats. I don't like that.
What?
He has a permit like from the city to shoot stray cats. It's his hobby.
It's his hobby, that's right. It's his side hustle. Yeah, he gotta have a side hustle now. He picked shooting cats.
Yeah, I wonder if he's like sending the pelts over to China to like make into, you know, hip hop jackets or something.
Is that what the kids are wearing these days?
I don't know. What is it?
That, wow. I think they're making the hip-hop flags out of the cat.
They think it's mink, but it's really cat.
Ah.
It's the Kensington mink, they call it. The Kensington mink.
I'm sure he could make more money selling the meat to Chinese food restaurants rather than shipping them.
That one was too easy, though. I thought about that joke and I decided against it.
Well, you know
what?
I
wasn't making a joke.
It's true. They do some people in China. Well, you know what's even scarier is they make cat food out of cats in China, and like stuffed toys of cats, like stuffed toy fake cats that you buy in China, sometimes have real cat fur on them. What's that? Is that a baby?
Yeah, it's a baby. Yeah.
Turn up the
Archie
mic.
Wants to
Mike,
talk.
Mike the baby. Let me hear.
Mike the baby. Baby, talk.
Tell her not to cuss. Talk.
He's kissing the mic.
What are your kids
making
names?
Out with it? My girl is Lily. Lily June Vidotti. And my boy is Archer. Archer Azad Vidotti.
Archer Azad.
Archer nice. Azad, yeah.
Huzzah.
Huzzah.
What's Azad mean?
We looked in the Persian English Dictionary for freedom, and we found Azad.
My sister's ex-husband's name was Azad. They're, what do you call it? Those Muslims that Muslims don't think are Muslims?
We've talked about this on the show in the old days. Yeah, she's Sufi or something.
Yeah, he was a white guy whose real name was like Billy Bob, but he changed it to Azad or something. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been doing a lot of work. I guess I've done two gigs. I did this live audio thing for this Baha'i group. Great people. But I always imagined Baha'is were all Persians, but no, it's like, I don't know, 40-60 or 70-30 white people who wanted a cool religion.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not.
I actually know a black guy that's Baha'i, and he's a black guy in Wyoming, and there's only like four of those, I think.
Oh, I know who you're talking about. Can you say it on the air? Yeah, Lou.
Yeah, Lou's
the black
Baha'i.
Lou. Not the female.
Black Lou that's in. the black guy that sounds like a white Constitution guy in the Guns and Weed movie. That guy,
yes.
A friend of mine, is Baha'i. Yeah.
That's great. Yeah. Yeah. Interesting. There's some old school band called like Seals and Croft or something.
Yep, they're Baha'i.
Classic rock. Uh-huh. Yeah, really? And one of them, he was at the last gig I did playing guitar like before dinner or something.
Did they call for the head of Salman Rushdie on a stick?
No,
oh, that's
that
Cat Stevens and he's Muslim. Sorry.
Oh, yeah, that's different.
We talked about that.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
Are you a political activist who does things that the government might not like? Then this free ebook may save your life. RATS is your guide to protecting yourself against snitches, informers, informants, agents provocateur, narcs, finks, and similar vermin. RATS was written by OG libertarian Claire Wolf. RATS is a short book, easy to read, and available free in many formats. Download RATS free at rats-nosnitch.com. That's rats-nosnitch.com.
Yo, it's the Freedom Team. Who is about to bring us in? You can do it. No one? I think somebody was about to bring us in, but I interrupted him. I was being rude.
Just do that?
No. He ran him off. He's going to write a letter to you tomorrow.
He's
running
to his congressman. He's running to his state rep.
State rep. Whoa.
Bean phone.
There he is.
Oh, yeah.
He couldn't let that stand. Defend yourself, Steve.
Steve?
No, Steve.
Aw.
Hello.
Oh, there he is.
Hey, Steve. So, tagging. We want to hear your people's court. Hip cop people's court.
Oh, yeah. You want to hear it? Wait, okay.
Be nice.
You tagging me? Or... Okay. So... Those of you who, you longer listeners, those who have been here for the last 50 shows or so, know that I've been in the fiendom.
Abused by Michael Dean.
Right, since about October. And I've been tagged, I've calculated, approximately 14,000 times now.
Yeah.
And I've discovered that these tags fall into a couple of different families, which I'll break down for you.
Skin tags.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Looks like about 13 different families of tags. We got show-related tags. Those include pre-show, during-show, post-show. You tag people during the show, and then you're like, hey, did you get that tag? Like, no, I didn't get the tag because I was doing the show, and also you harp on us about not being on the internet during the show because it could crash Fiend Phone. See earlier Fiend groaning of me. Then you get the tag. You get the post show tag. Shows up. I get that. That's a necessary tag. What have you? Fiend the homeless related tags. Also show related. What have you? Getting tagged in memes is the second major family. That meme I was tagged in today was totally worth it. That was a fantastic meme.
The Fienios.
Yeah. Stephen Miller seal of approval. Jokes would be the fourth family. News articles would be the fifth. Sometimes they're good, sometimes they're whack. Six would be questions in threads. There's some discussion of bolo ties. found somebody who's got a question about Korean cuisine or whatever. Let's tag Miller Miller. Get him in here. Then the eighth category.
Fiend phone.
The eighth category is what I would categorize as mass tagging incidents, where something's happened and you're just tagging everyone.
I tag all the fiends in some stuff.
Yeah. Offerings of things. So there's a laptop, there's a microphone, there's whatever that you're giving away. Everybody
so you have,
tagged.
You have a problem with the fact that I give away things that are often worth hundreds of dollars, and I bother you by saying, hey, do you want this thing? By the way, I'm sending you a Bipcot flag tomorrow. That's worth $16 if you're keeping track. Since you are keeping track of what
I'm going to claim it all on my taxes.
Cool. In lib pair?
Yeah.
So let me ask you this. Does it bother you?
No. Well, okay. Here's my theory.
Because I didn't tag you for a few days, and the conclusion we came to was it's like, you know, young women kind of hate it when men go, hey, baby, on the street. But when they reach a certain age and it never happens, there is the theory that they go, how come no one's hitting on me anymore? Has that happened with you? That's what happened with the, like, when I didn't tag you for a couple days, you felt like the old maid.
Some of you might know my wife, Josie the Outlaw. And
young hottie. Everyone in Liberty wants to marry her.
Well, I'm the one who actually did. I'm living the dream.
She made an honest woman out of you.
Yeah. That's what happened. Her rape whistle shoots bullets. Any hoodle. She hates it. She gets what I call taggered. Whenever anybody tags her in anything.
Triggered, tagged?
Taggered. But I have a theory that it's not actually you tagging me. Because I think the amount of tags that go out is more than one person could possibly do.
It's Fiendbot.
In one given day. It's the hashtag NWD colon machine. Like, I believe that it's you tagging me, like, in the same way that I conceptually believe in Lincoln, in that, like, I believe that there's, like, a figure that's on money, and I believe that there's... Like this.
Well, Steve, when I lived near you in Pennsylvania at the Church Farm School, our sex ed class was taught by an Episcopal priest, and he said, anybody who wants to ask a question, put it in this hat, and you can ask anonymously, and I'll answer it. And the first one someone asked was, do you believe in premarital sex? And he read that, and he said, well, I believe it exists.
Yeah.
It's kind of like that, right? Like, you believe that my tagging exists, but it can't possibly be me, all of it.
Well, yeah, but I don't believe in Lincoln.
Do you want me to cut down? Yes or no?
Nah, you're fine.
All right. Well, there. I will not be able to help you become the Trump of the hood. Sorry.
Yeah.
We'll be back with a section on dogs after this.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
We'll be right back.
drugs to make it through this episode. Because I got lung problems. Because I want to be like my hero, Hubert Sutter Jr. And like him, I finally got something out of that effing government. Parking pass is even better than a $30 aluminum cane. Although I think he had the parking pass too. So, Steve, I'm known as a lot of things, but one is I'm a joke writer for Steve Miller Miller. He comes up with great jokes, but you know, occasionally he pays me $5 for a joke and uses it in his act, and that's something people do. I never sell the same joke to someone else. And I wrote a joke, and it was the phrase, "Thank you for your cervix." And you got to use it and got a big laugh out of it the other day. But then, is that the show you got dissed about in writing, or was that a different show, Steve?
That was indeed the exact same show. And that was not a woman from the improv group. That was a separate, and that was a separate heckler who dealt with something face to face, which I'll give her credit for, because in current year 2016, it seems that you don't, you know, because at least hecklers are telling you, you know, like, you're terrible or whatever. They have the courage to like actually take a risk and speak publicly, as opposed to these other people who will take it to a secret Facebook group and then tag a bunch of people and da, 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 da. Not saying that Michael Dean is responsible
for
the heckling.
I would tell a comedian that they sucked. I wouldn't tag them.
Be like, hey, Mr.
No, Freeman, and you're funny. You're I like you. You're funny on The Fiends, too, but you're funny on stand-up. And the image for tonight's show, special episode 900 image made by Chandler St. Pierre, is a cat doing stand-up with four mics against a brick wall with a Bipcot behind him. So it's in your honor. So go ahead. Tell us what. Show me on the doll where you touched the heckler, Steve.
What is the deal with catnip?
yeah, that's what he's saying.
That's the awesome. Food in cat carriers is so bad these days. So I told a joke, and it was Fred walked up to me the other day. He said, "Steve Miller Miller, I'm going to start losing weight, and I'm going to start losing weight the gay way." And I said, "What? You're getting HIV?" And he said, "No. I'm not getting HIV. I'm going to start doing crystal meth." And I thought, all right, what you basically just said is, I'm getting HIV, but I'm going to take the scenic route.
Oh, man. And play. Steve P&P. Miller Miller. Go, baby,
and
go.
And this woman in the audience got all mad. And she was, I'm a veteran, and I know people who killed themselves. And
what's that got to do with HIV? Anything?
No. See, this was the problem. Like I said earlier, I didn't give everybody a form to figure out what their triggers were.
Yeah.
And, you know, like where all their previous employers and what have you. So, you know, it's like mentalism. Like, you got to be like John Edwards on Crossing Over.
Yeah.
They filled out a form before that show. That's why he was able to shred every single night. The next truly great comedian is going to be clairvoyant. I will make that prediction right now, because in order to win over that millennial audience, you got to be like, oh man. So cancer sure sucks, but I'm sorry about your specific Aunt Sally. That was really awful, but man, it was really hilarious when it happened to everybody else.
My kid and my mother died of cancer, and I think that joke is funny. Just want to let you know. But I didn't serve my country like this lady says she did. So what'd she do, man?
She served her country. And she's like, anyway, I just think that you should be ashamed of yourself, and I'm leaving. I'm like, well, I'm less ashamed of myself now that you're leaving. And then everybody laughed. She's like, I'm out of here. I'm like, okay, thank you for your cervix. And they laughed. And she stormed out, which was apparently the order of the evening in terms of exiting the place. Like, nobody just walked out the door that night. Everybody left in a huff, preferably with, like, where there's a specific walk. When you're walking out of a comedy venue, you've got, like, this bringer of social justice gait that you walk out the door with, where, like, your shoulders are all swinging. And if you're wearing a bolo tie when you reenact this walk, the tips will fly, like, from one shoulder to the next.
Nice.
Yeah. So
Did it get a big laugh? Did the thank you for your service get a big laugh?
Yeah, it definitely did. Awesome. Both of them did. Yeah.
Awesome.
I let this woman go on for a lot longer than I normally let these people go on for, too. Yeah. She was given this big old stem winder of a talk about how, you know, I was in Mosul and my mother did this and my mother did. I'm like, yo, like, did you get lost on the way to the yoga workshop? Because, like, you're in the wrong barn, honey.
Did you say that? That's good. Did you say that?
I said you're in the wrong barn, honey, to somebody else, but not her. But yeah.
Yeah, that's great.
See, and it sounds like I tell the show, I like talk about this show, and like you get this impression that like I'm this insult comic. Like I run around like trying to make everybody feel terrible, like I'm some edgelord, but like I'm only something of an edgelord. I'm not a total edgelord. Yeah. You know, and that's the thing. Never go full edgelord. I really believe
that.
That's awesome.
Edge Duke. So, fun with dogs. So, I want a dog. Basically, I'm suddenly, like, really allergic. Everyone who knows this show knows that I'm, you know, I'm pretty much dying. And, not really, but I'm just really, really sick. And one of the things is I'm allergic to cats suddenly. Like, really bad. And don't write me and say, why don't you get one of those hairless cats? Because it's not the hair on cats. It's the spit and the dander. And the hairless cats make you allergic, too. And don't say, but I read there's a company that breeds hypoallergenic cats. That company, I'm not going to use the word scam because they look like they can afford lawyers, but they're selling $5,000 cats that are making people sneeze. That's all I'll say. According to people who've been around their cats. But according to the skin scratch tests, I'm extremely allergic to cats. I knew that. And I've had them for like 20 years and had to get rid of them last year. But I was lying in bed today just like, why aren't there cats on me? My wife's out of town. She's seeing her dad. I was too sick to go. I don't really want to talk about her dad much. I love him dearly. And he's like so sick that he makes me look like an Olympic athlete. And he's like 80. So she went down to visit him for a couple days. And I'm alone here, which I'm okay with. But I'm just like, why aren't there cats on me? I'm on the bed. There should be cats on me. And I broke down and cried because I miss cats so much. And I don't love dogs as much as I love cats, but I think I could love a dog. And my wife wants a dog, and I want a dog. And I think we're going to get a dog because I'm not allergic to dogs, according to skin scratch tests. So I have some criteria. I want a short-haired dog, not because I'm allergic to long-haired dogs, but I don't want to spend – I don't want to vacuum. Like, I'm too sick to vacuum. I had Nima's dog several times when he was out of town, and – I don't want a hairy dog. I also don't want... Nima's trying to give me his dog. I love his dog. But his dog's
nine. You don't
want
a lot of hair everywhere. Right. Yeah. My dog leaves about a comforter worth of hair on the couch every day.
Right. And you're trying to give me your dog who's nine, and it's a breed that tends to live till 10. I don't want a dog that's going to die in a year. But okay. So I want a short-haired dog that's not a lot of... Like, isn't going to want to walk 2 hours a day, because I can't do it. Like... But Jeremy told me, what did you tell me? Now, I do have a treadmill in the basement I'm not using. What did you tell me that made me think you were like, isn't that something that they like use to breed, like to abuse pit bulls is treadmills?
they can be used to abuse them, but
on Law and Order, every time they stop they go after the guy who's killing people who's also breeding pit bulls for fighting, which is like every fourth episode of Law and Order. He's always got the rape stand and the treadmill in the place he kept the dogs. What's the treadmill for?
Well, in that scenario, I'm sure it's to from what I've heard, they use them to kind of work the dogs up, almost like, you know, with a carrot in front of them. They'll just kind of
a kitten,
a little. Well, yeah, either that or a prey dog, and just kind of get them to run after them. But they can be used for positive purposes too. I've trained in the past.
Tell me, Jeremy, on our segment, Fun with Dogs with Jeremy Heisenberger.
That's me.
Let me tell the you're a dog expert.
Jeremy Hamburglar.
Jeremy walks dogs for a living.
I like that one better.
And he's got like 17 dogs of his own, and then he has like 25 at a time he walks, right?
Yes.
No. Not
yes, dogs everywhere. No. Most I've done so far is 8, but we're working our way up there. But yeah, I've trained dogs for clients in the past to run on treadmills for people who have I've had people with situations who have had like little kids, so they don't, they can't, you know, with toddlers running around, they don't have the time anymore to walk the dog.
I like that. Yeah, that's great.
Or I've had clients
that have. I have a backyard that's huge, and it's got a fence around it, and I sit all day in a chair on a computer working and tagging Steve Miller Miller, and I can look out the window at the backyard. So the dog could spend all day out there fine, and then it could come in whenever it wants, and it would, I know when it wants to come in, and then it could play with me, it could sit on my lap, and I could walk it around the block, maybe, without dying once and collect its poo a day, but... then I could run it on. I could put it on the treadmill for exercise, right?
Like I said, if you were going to get a, because we talked about this earlier, if you wanted to get a, you know, you could get a low energy dog where you wouldn't have to worry about the treadmill because just one walk.
Pretend
I'm
70. I'm 52, but I'm like a 70-year-old.
Well, exactly. So if you're gonna get a low energy dog, you may not even need the treadmill.
Yeah.
But having the treadmill could open up to, you know, the possibility to more dog choices for you.
Yeah.
Because like the criteria you're talking about, I mean, I told you earlier. Unfortunately, one of the dogs that fits best for you is a bulldog. But they, because of their scrunchy little faces, you have to constantly wipe them and stuff because they get all they get stuck. So, yeah, they can be a little messy. They can be a little smelly.
How many times? No smelly dogs.
but unfortunately, they everything else it fits your criteria. They're pretty lazy. They're short hair. they're very friendly.
My other criteria is not huge. I don't want a Rottweiler.
Yeah.
Did you guys talk yet about the guy who couldn't get a bank loan because his terrorist dog name or something?
Lisa? No, not yet.
Right. Well, I had a friend that had a Rottweiler named Rommel Satan Hitler, which really kind of fits Rottweilers. But I don't want a big murder dog. I don't even want a small murder dog. But I don't want a dog that's going to make me gay. You know, do you guys remember, you know, I don't want a poodle. I don't want a pocket. I want something that's kind of medium size. Do you guys remember in Breaking Bad that scene where the two speed freaks are sitting around talking in Jesse's house, his friends, what are his friends' name? Weasel.
Badger.
No, I think. Yeah. Badger and Skinny Pete are talking about.
That's it.
They're talking about Star Trek, like this fan fiction they wrote of Star Trek. In the South American Breaking Bad, El Breaking Bado, that same conversation is about how having cats makes you gay. It's pretty funny. So we'll be back with Redemption in the third act after this trip to the market.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
Hey, this is Squiscar Squigelts from Death Clocks. And you are listening to the Freedom Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess I says worms now. So there you go.
Tired of those old Freedom Fiends buttons? Well, the Freedom Fiends have new button designs.
As always, it's only $10 for 10 buttons, and you'll get these nifty designs. Buy sheep, for sheep, on sheep.
State speech is hate speech.
Two designs for Guns and Weed, the Road to Freedom.
Three designs for Fiend Phone.
Bipcot No Gov.
A Freedom Fiends Worms button.
And ask me about my worms.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says Buttons.
And now they're bigger buttons.
They used to be 1¼ inch, and now they're 1¾ inch. Dan, they're bigger buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Welcome back to the Freedom Fiends live talk radio show. This is episode 900. I've got Jeremy Hamburglar and Lisa and Steve Miller here with me. How's everybody doing?
900. Terrific.
Trying not to get drowned.
Trying not to get drowned.
Yeah, again.
Does anybody have Redemption in the third act? We kind of been everywhere and nowhere all at once today.
Yeah. Got to tie that up. No, I definitely have Redemption in the third act. And that's, folks, remember that a cloud does not put out the sun. And that's that, you know, even while you're having to shut down hecklers, even while you're getting your notifications blown up by Michael W. Dean, that it's not all for naught, and that your grind is blessed, and that eventually you're going to do some sort of great service to the world. And for me, that was depriving a comedy audience of having to see feminist improv. And for you, it's going to be something different. But I have utter faith in you, and I bless your grind. And where you go, Steve Miller Miller and his bolo tie go with you. That's all.
Hear, hear. We should have like a set of catechisms for blessing of the grind, like a thing where you call in response.
A blind dressing ceremony, a grind blessing. Yeah.
Blind dressing. That works too. You'll need a cervix animal if you.
Yeah, you're going to need a cervix animal, and you're going to need some trigger weens.
It's good times. Yes, it is right to give blessings of grinds.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it is Easter too, right? Or no, yeah. I guess not anymore.
Well, it was. Yeah.
It was.
That's right.
It was.
Yeah, it was Easter. It was the best of seeing people call Jesus a zombie and then see people get angry at people who call Jesus a zombie.
I missed all that. Was there a lot of that on the face beef today?
Yeah, well, you see, you have children and a purpose, and what I have is libertarian on my Facebook feed.
That's right. I think the only Jesus-related meme I saw was some guy in front of the tomb and said, Schrodinger's Jesus, you know, when the doors close, he's both dead and resurrected at the same time.
That is brilliant. That's brilliant.
I missed that one.
I must not have smart friends. I didn't see that one. Oh. Sorry, guys. That's okay. Whoops.
That's your redemption, Lisa, is that you're the smartest among your friends.
Well.
That's very good. You know, my wife, I told her, she was trying to think of Halloween costumes. I told her we should be juggalos, like a family of juggalos. Whoop, this was whoop. Just like a couple days ago.
Yeah.
I think that's a good idea.
I think it's a really good idea.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I mean, she hated me for it, but I think that'd be cool. We can shoot each other with pellet guns and drink bad soda.
There you go.
Do it.
Yeah. And wonder, we can have magnets with us. We can have like props.
See, I'm hoping my kids want to do the superhero thing again this year, because I'm not usually big on dressing up, but when my little girls say, I want to be Thor, Daddy, I say, okay, we can do that. I can go out with you.
Nice. No, that seems like a good time to crush their dreams and be like, listen, kids, why don't you sit down and then we can have a little conversation about how there are no heroes, only horrible tyrants. And if you really want to be a hero, you could go as a Bitcoin for Halloween. A Bitcoin.
A Bitcoin.
Well, they already are Biptots, so, you know.
Oh, what's that?
Huh? Well, they were the first kids with a pic taken with the flag. Because I think I actually technically have the first one now. I think James lost his
His baby. Weird,
no, his flag.
Somebody find James.
Losing dogs, babies, and flags.
I think it was the flag. It was a flag. It was a flag. I think I actually have number one now, but. Yeah, I draped it over my kids. I got some flack for it. James actually said he would not be pipcotting his kids. Yeah.
I really appreciate my flag. I appreciate Scott for sending it to me, and I think it's awesome. I don't know what use I have for a flag. Like, I would like more people to enlighten me. Like, what do you do with a flag?
Well, can't you do it at like your, you know, can't you drape it somewhere when you're having your shows and stuff?
There are empty flagpoles all over the place, and you don't know until you have a flag with you.
I kind of like that. Yeah. Just randomly put it places and take it. Yeah. Okay.
That just gave me an idea, too.
Just take pictures of
flag,
it.
Flag the poleless.
Flag the poleless.
Pick out the world.
Yeah. All right. I don't know. I want to keep it close. I don't want to put it up at a gig, because then people are going to ask questions. And I don't want people coming and talking to me. That's
Well, yeah, if you don't want to be social, that's probably a bad idea.
I like being social, just not while I DJ. I've got work. Anyway, thank you guys for joining us here on the Freedom.
Indeed. Happy 900, everyone. Thanks.
Happy 900.
And it'll be 5 years on Tuesday.
Yes, it will.
Wow. That's crazy.